16. We're looking at part two of the message we started last week. So if you could read that with me and we'll read it together. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Amen. You may be seated. When we started last week on this passage of Scripture, we came to the conclusion that God has potential for all of us, that within each and every single one of us, there is an unlimited resource of potential that's available. I did not know that, and I didn't understand that until, you know, I got older and my walk in the Christian life, until I realized that, you know, God's plan for me is a special plan. And it's a plan that He delights, that I know and understand and accept, and that I also put into practice. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want us to talk about what God's potential is for us. Now, last week, we began this passage of Scripture, and verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 5 is kind of central and key to this entire passage, where Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God." And we've been trying to figure out what it means to be an imitator of God. And I've been trying to figure that out for the last 40 years, to be an imitator of God, and to understand what it means to reflect and imitate Jesus in my daily life. Now, I understand that I have not made it yet. And I understand that many times I have certainly messed it up. And many times I do not reflect of what it is to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ because of that old sin nature that still has a grip in me and has a grip in all of us. But God says we are to be imitators. If we are to understand what it is to be people full of potential, number one, what we looked at last week, we need to understand who we are in Christ. That we are redeemed by His blood, that we are special in His sight. We are His and His alone because He has purchased us with His precious blood. We need to understand who we are in Christ. And number two, we need to understand where your potential can take you. Did you know that the potential that is in you, and you may not have even come to understand what your potential is yet, may take you a long way down the road. It may give you a lot of great traction for the days ahead. You know, there's that slogan that I've heard many times, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. And He's not with me, and I hope He's not with you. And I hope you don't see yourself as someone, well, you know, God can't use me. God can't bless me. I really don't have much to offer. I really don't have much going for me. With that kind of attitude, well, you know, you're not going to get very far. With that kind of attitude, you know, your altitude is going to be a way down here. So God says to us, your potential can take you a long ways to where I want you to be, to where you need to be. And where the potential that God has given you is designed to take you, you know, these are the values that He wants us to live out our lives. He wants us to live out our lives and think about those things that are good, those things that are right, and those things that are true, as it says in the first few verses here in chapter 5. And so the question is, how do we get there? That's always the question. I tend to be a pragmatist when it comes to the Christian life because, you know, I've studied theology and theory, and I've studied all the theories and all the different philosophies and things like that. But there's that overwhelming desire in my heart to ask the question, how is this relevant to me? How does this make sense to me? How can I take what God says in His Word and apply it in my daily walk so that I can be truly His follower and I can live my life fully in the power of the Spirit of God? So that brings us to the third thing. Last Sunday we looked at who we are in Christ, and number two, where our potential will take us. And this morning, we want to look at how we can walk in the light. Now, 3 points for me to share with you this morning and what that means. What does it mean to walk in the light? As we try to understand our potential, as we try to fulfill God's will and God's purpose. Remember, He says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to make you complete. Good plans, wholesome plans. He says, I've got those plans for you. And you need to desire them in your heart. So how do we walk in the light? Well, look at the scriptures here this morning. And Paul says this in verse number 8. He says, for at one time you were in darkness. That applies to every single one of us. At one point, you were in darkness. I was in darkness before I came to Christ. I lived a life that had nothing to do with God. It was anti-God, in fact. You would hear swear words coming out of my mouth more than praise words. You would hear words that were not good to use in any circle of friends. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are now light in the Lord. So Paul says, this is what you were in the past. And now he says, this is what you are now. You are now light. Light. What does it mean to be light? What does it mean to walk in the light? He says that. He asks us to do that. In fact, it's a command. It's an imperative command. He says, walk as children of light. That's our challenge. And how can we do that in a world that is so anti-Christian? How can we do that in a world that is so opposed to the things of God? Walk as children of light. And Paul would say to us, you can do this. You can do this. You remember that slogan a few years ago? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's what Paul's saying to us. Yes, you can do it. You can walk in the light because you are light, because Christ lives in you, who is the light of the world. And the light of the world dispels darkness. And the light of the world transforms and changes and makes whole. And so he says, walk as children of light. And Paul would say to us, you can do it. There's potential here. There's potential for every single one of us, and you can have it put into practice. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of what you have done. It's not because of your goodness or your good looks or anything like that. I know that may disappoint some of you. But it's because of who you are in Christ. It's because the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your heart, in your life. You're no longer your own, you're Christ. You've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, you're His. And you are to walk in the light as children of light, because the Spirit has invaded your life. So how do we put it into practice? And so today in this final section, I want to challenge you to adopt three rather than. You ever hear people use that phrase, rather than? Well, I want you to think about the rather thans in your life, in your experience. The rather than strategies that will move you in the direction of reaching your full potential in Christ. These are three attitudes, three areas where you will say, that may have been the pattern of my past behavior. That may have been the pattern of my former life. It may be the way that I've always done it before. But today, rather than doing it that way, I will seek to do it this way, God's way, and in His will. So here they are, if you want to write them down. Number one, rather than living to indulge your own desires, this is where it's coming right from the scripture here, by the way. Rather than living to indulge your own desires, focus on living to please God. The Westminster Confession of Faith, which is a Presbyterian theological statement that has kind of ruled the Presbyterians over the last several centuries. John Calvin made this statement, and it ought to be the theme of every believer. The chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what John Calvin said. The chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so Paul says, you can't enjoy God by gratifying the desires of the flesh. And so he says this in verse number 3. But sexual immorality, he uses this as an example. In all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. In other words, Paul is saying, these are things that the world kind of relishes up to. These are things that people who are outside of Christ, these things are very much part of their living, very much of their thinking, very much a part of their culture. Paul says, that's not you. That is not you. And so what he's saying here is, do not give these things the time of day. Don't give them the light of day. Don't give them any opportunity whatsoever in your life. Put them away. And I like what verse 3 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, I didn't say that. God says it right here in His Word. That's what He says. I remember one time attending a Billy Graham crusade in Boston. It was when I first started out in the ministry in 1982. Billy Graham was there. He preached at Fenway Park that year. And it was a great, great crusade. Thousands of people came to know Christ. And I remember one of the things that was told to us by Cliff Barrows, who was Billy Graham's song leader. Cliff Barrows told us, he says, you know that before Billy Graham goes into a motel room, he has someone come in and check it out for him in case there's some kind of trap before him, in case there's something there that's impure, in case there might be a naked woman or something, or in case there might be something that would cause him, or would there would be even an accusation or a hint that perhaps Billy Graham, or maybe someone could get a story going or a rumor going that Billy Graham is, in public he's one way, but in private he's another. I'll never forget that. I've always made it a practice that in my pastoral ministry, when I'm counseling especially the female gender, especially younger people, that I've always tried to have an open door, tried to make it so that I would never get caught in the trap of any accusation being brought against me. You know, how many people have been caught in the trap these days? How many people have fallen victim to things like that? Maybe even honestly, and maybe not even intentional, but things happen. And so Paul says this, that there must not even be a hint of immorality in the lives of those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's kind of tough in this day and age. You see, the first century church in Ephesus was not that different than any than the 21st century church today. Because they had their issues, they had their problems. It was pretty much about sexual immorality, and prevailing attitude was much, you know, that said anything goes. And unfortunately, that kind of attitude has even crept into the church as well. Into those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, that anything goes. It's okay as long as you feel good. That is a lie from the pit of hell itself. That is something the devil wants you to believe. You see, if it's not according to the Word of God, it is of the pit, from the pit itself. You see, Paul is saying, in effect, society all around you may be sending a message that anything goes. That's what the world tells us, right? Turn on the TV, all the commercials. Do this, buy that. If you don't, you don't fit in. You're not one of us. That's the culture we live in. That anything goes. But God says this. Paul says this. Don't even toy with the idea of things that are immoral, the things that are improper, the things that would compromise your integrity. You see, integrity is something that's hard to get back if you lose it. Someone said that integrity is who you are when no one is looking. Who you are when no one is looking. If you lose your integrity, you lose what? You might as well lose everything. If you say one thing and do another, or if you lie, if you don't tell the truth, or if you're dishonest, you know, integrity is probably one of the most difficult things to restore back to what it used to be. And so Paul warns us here. And as I read this, I'm warning myself. I believe that God has a message here for me as well. That my integrity is important. Can you imagine, you know, there are pastors even who have lost their integrity. There are people who preach behind, you know, it's my worst fear and my nightmare to lose my integrity as your pastor. If I lose my integrity, and, you know, I probably might as well just wave bye-bye. Because it's that important. It's that important. So Paul says, rather than living to indulge your own desires, focus on living to please God. I've got so many reasons why I can praise God and please Him. Paul says in verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we discern what's pleasing to the Lord? Well, we seek those things that are above. We look at things and we say, Lord, is this pleasing to you? Is this honoring to you? Is this how you would have me live my life? Is this what you want me to do in my life? Discern what it is to be pleasing to the Lord. Discernment is another great gift. And some people are gifted with discernment. Discernment is awesome. And if you have the gift of discernment, you have something that's good. You have something that's great. You have something that can that can really be to your advantage. And so Paul says, walk as children of light. It means that we say, God, rather than thinking about what will satisfy my own fleshly desires, I will think about what I can do that is good. I will think about doing what is right and what's true, because I know that this is what pleases you. Now, do we get up every morning and say, Lord, help me to please you? The answer to that is many mornings we don't say that, do we? We don't get up with that kind of attitude. We might want to try it. We might want to get up in the morning and say, Lord, help me to live my life out this day in a way that pleases you. And that means if there are hard knocks, if there are difficult circumstances, difficult situations that come my way, Lord, give me the ability, the patience, the desire to deal with each and every one of these things in a way that pleases you. Help me to honor you even through these things. Walking as children of light means that we say, God, my life is not about what my sinful nature tells me I should want for myself. It's about what you tell me I should want for your glory. It's for his glory. It's for his honor. It means that, like Jesus, we say, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. How many times have we heard that quote? Maybe even repeated it. Not my will, but your will, O God. And so I'm challenging myself, because as I speak to you, I speak to myself, about adopting the strategy that rather than living to please myself, Lord, help me to please you. Help me to please you in every way. Here's the second rather than strategy. Rather than making conversation about matters that are out of place, focus on each conversation about the goodness of God. Have you ever been in a situation where the conversation is a little bit starchy? I'm sure you have. All you need to do, I used to work at Cabela's, go in the break room. I'll tell you, I've heard some jokes and some off-colored remarks from my fellow employees that would pretty well peel the paint on the wall. Some of it pretty bad. some of it really, really, really bad. Bad, bad. And let me tell you, I had to ask myself many times, do I want to take part in this? Or how do I deal with it? How do I deal with it as a Christian? As someone who says he believes in Jesus Christ, and hearing about women being demeaned, for example, or hearing the name of Jesus being taken in vain, or all kinds of cuss words that are coming from people. I've heard it, have you? We all have. So rather than making conversation about matters that are out of place, and sometimes we say things that are joking, sometimes we say things that are out of turn, we need to focus on making each conversation about the goodness of God. I listen very carefully sometimes when I hear Christians together. Sometimes when we meet downstairs for our third Sunday luncheon, I try to listen to the times people really talk about the goodness of God. And it's good to talk about our own lives, about our children, about our families, and all of that. But, it's really good to talk about God, too. When we're here in this house, when we're here praising God, it's good to talk about how God is doing his work in my life and how he's blessing me. It's good to talk about those things. It's not good to speak words that are foolish or to words that are inappropriate. And that's why Paul says in verse 4, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. Shouldn't be any of that. So, Paul says, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Let there be positive words. Let there be positive words. Our conversation matters. A friend of mine was telling me, he lives up in Presque Isle, told me recently that he was on a plane coming back from Chicago, and he and his buddy started talking about some things that I'm not sure it was a good thing for them to talk about on an airplane, because they were both in the military, and they were talking about bomb disposals. You don't talk about bombs when you're 10,000 feet in the air. They got a talking to when they get off the plane. And, you know, they were almost arrested. They had to do some sweet talking to get themselves out of trouble. There are times to talk about those things, but not on an airplane 10,000 feet up in the air. So there are some subjects that are far too serious to joke about. And sometimes it's best not to talk at all about them. And the same goes for many, many other things. So our conversation needs to go in the area of talking about the goodness of God. Amen? About His goodness. About what He's done. About what He's doing now. And here's the third and final rather than. And that is, rather than being influenced by the world around you, focus on sharing your light with others. That's what we want to be part of here at Second Baptist Church. Letting our light shine in our community so that others, people who are lost outside of Christ, can see Jesus in us and through us. That's what we want to do. Paul says this in verse 11, look at it. Take no part in the unfruitful works, deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Wow. Now stop right there. What does that mean? To expose them. Some people think that the phrase expose them means that you point your finger at all the sinners of the world and you tell them off. And you preach them into hell. And you tell them where they're going if they don't turn, or they'll burn if they don't turn. You either turn or burn, one of the two. Now maybe we've heard that kind of thinking and preaching, and maybe there might be a place for it, but some people think that that's what Christians do all the time. But when we read on, we see that that's not what Paul's talking about here at all. In verse 12, he says it's even shameful to speak of the things they do in secret. In other words, Paul says that sin is so dark and so ugly and so destructive, you don't even want to talk about it. You don't want to go there. Instead, Paul says this in verse 13. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. Becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. You ever walk into a dark room and flick on a light real quick? It lights up pretty fast, doesn't it? Becomes visible. There's a play in words going on here, and this is the point that Paul is moving forward, that we don't defeat the darkness in the world around us by, you know, just making mention, thinking of things about talking about the darkness. We defeat the darkness with the power of the light. We defeat darkness with light. I was with a group of preachers one day, and one of the pastors who wasn't in the group came into the conversation, and it went downhill very fast, because some of the pastors started gossiping about this other pastor that was not there. And one of the pastors stood up and said, you know, I've had good relationship with this guy. One thing I can say about him was that when I was in the hospital, he came to see me, and he snuck in a Big Mac for me. that was just his way of diffusing it a little bit. You know, you can imagine how the mood of that table suddenly shifted and how quickly, we moved on to another topic. So here's what Paul is saying. Rather than participating in all the darkness that goes on around you, focus on bringing the light of God into each and every situation, whatever it might be. And that doesn't mean you talk on and on and on how the darkness is. A lot of people, they like to talk about the darkness. I'd rather talk about the light. I'd rather talk about the good things of God rather than the bad things of this world. That's just me. I don't know. You see, it means that we let people see the light of God that shines through us. So this is our potential, folks. And I'm sorry I've gone a little bit over time this morning. But that's normal. You ought to be used to it by now. Right? We can live a life that stands for all that is good. I'll talk to you later. And all that is true. And in doing so, we become imitators of God. Do we want to become imitators of God? I pray we do. There are many who might say, I know that I could live this kind of life, but I never have. And today I want you to know that you can tap into your full potential in Jesus Christ. You can become the man or the woman or the young person that God has created you to be in the fullness of His glory. You see, this strategy is something we can wrap our arms around us. And that is that rather than living for myself, number one, I can live for the glory of God. Number two, rather than talking about matters that are out of place, that I can talk about the goodness of God. And number three, rather than being shaped by the world around me, I will bring the light of God into every situation. That's what God wants me to do. Every time you make a rather than choice, you become an imitator of God. You imitate Jesus. That's what we need to do. That's what we're about. That's why if we do this, we will see God do amazing things in our midst. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be children of light. You have called us to be the light of the world as you are light. In Jesus' name, amen.